in the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Well, where would you rather be right now? Going to a star-studded, celebrity, jam-packed orgy of money for Joe Biden with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, partying it up, $500,000 per ticket. Is that what I heard? It's a crazy amount of money. It's just they're going to raise $25 million, or maybe that's the highest price ticket. I think the lowest price ticket is $50,000. Biden, Obama, Clinton, and Trump are all in New York today. The three Democrats are here to raise money and help bail out the sinking ship that is Joe Biden, the campaign, and, well, quite frankly, the country, although they don't really care about the country. It's just kind of creating the mirage that somehow Joe Biden is a real person, a real president, and can win. I don't think he can, and I don't think he is, but Donald Trump, as you probably have heard, is at the wake, will be attending the wake of Officer Jonathan Diller, killed on Monday by a repeat offender, career criminal, in Far Rockaway, Queens. A 31-year-old Diller leaves behind a wife and a 1-year-old baby. It's totally heartbreaking, and really, it shouldn't have happened. I don't think it really would have happened except for this horrific climate that has been created by Democrats, by Hochul. Cuomo is guilty of some of this stuff. The bail reform, all that nonsense, and the hysteria about Black Lives Matter, and somehow the cops are racist. It's all vestiges of the slave patrol, you name it. They lied about them, and they are the targets of the left. I mean, it could have all been avoided had they not started to tell lies about America. And they did, for profit and power. I'm actually looking right down the street. I'm anticipating they got it all blocked off. I'm going to look at Joe Biden's motorcade go by here in a couple of minutes. This is how you get to, I'm in Midtown. This is how you get to 40, where is Rockefeller Center? Like 50th and 6th Avenue, right? So, and Radio City is right there. So, it's all blocked off. About 15 vehicles just came by, and this is how they come to Midtown. He's done this before. And what am I waiting for? I always like to see the cars go by, and if I get a glimpse of Joe, I will probably give him the finger. It's the least I could do, right? It's kind of mandatory. And what a classy move, Donald Trump. And not only is it a good, righteous thing to do, I'm hearing he may have paid off the mortgage of the family already. You know how Tunnel to Towers does that? And he joined forces with them, and the family is being beautifully and rightfully supported right now. That's great. And so he's at that wake, and, you know, not only is it a beautiful gesture, but it's also, quite frankly, I'm sorry, smart politics. It just, the contrast is amazing. What Donald Trump is doing day in and day out, he's winning this campaign. You know, it's really not all about Election Day. It's about you win the race in the months leading up to Election Day. Although with mail-in voting, anything is, you know, we can't take anything for granted. And what do I mean by that? Look, people are saying, well, Joe Biden should be there. Practically speaking, a president can't go every time a cop is killed in the line of duty. A presidential candidate can't go every time police officers killed in the line of duty. But something about this case, it is really perfect that Donald Trump opted to go, and he will be well received. You know, he's just the support for this man in the law enforcement community. You know, Joe Biden couldn't even say law and order. Remember that debate? And Trump, you can't even say the words, Joe, say it, law and order. I can say, and he couldn't say it. He wouldn't say it. Hey, James Flippin, you're here. Welcome. There are a lot of moving parts right now. What's happening? Give us the lay of the land. First of all, how are you?
Good. Doing well. Obviously, yeah, a lot to keep an eye on with the two most recent presidents in New York today. We know that the first wake for Officer Diller is being held from 2 to 4 this afternoon, and that's the one that Trump's expected to attend. from 2 to 4.
In Massapequa Park?
That's in Massapequa Park.
What's the name of the funeral home? Do we
Massapequa
know?
Funeral Home.
Okay.
And then they're also holding a viewing, a wake tonight from 7 to 9, both today and tomorrow. They're having that wake. And then the funeral for the officer is for, that's scheduled 10:30 Saturday morning at St. Rose of Lima Roman Catholic Church. And then they will put Officer Dillard to rest. The event that Biden is hosting is, like you said, at Radio City. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. And I guess they're calling it some sort of, you know, celebrity bash or whatever. I don't know what exactly they're calling it. But there's going to be like a roundtable discussion with Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and President Biden.
Oh, and I hear Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, he's the MC, I guess.
Here comes the motorcade. Hold on a second. Now, we don't like this guy at all, but there's something about a presidential motorcade that's pretty cool, you know? Hey, you know what's actually cooler than this? Because there's barely anybody. What? People who happen to be crossing the street are waiting on the corner, right? I see that. You know what happens? Have you ever seen the video when candidate Trump comes to town? You know, tens of thousands of people are lined up. It's really an awesome sight. It is so awesome to watch. All right, let me see here. I am going to take a little thing with my camera, and I'll post it for you guys just to get an idea of how big a presidential motorcade is. Yep, all right, here are the lead cars. And there's the beast. Hold on.
Yep.
Screw you, Joe!
The beast is going by now.
Go home! We don't like you! You stink! Goodbye!
The blood is on his hands. It really is in so many ways. I can't stand this guy. And why do Democrats go along with it? You know, why are so many Democrats? I don't know. Is it Trump derangement? Is it? What is it? I mean, it's so kind of, don't you? Look, you have a lot of lefty friends, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What are they saying now?
It's interesting you bring this up because I was taking the train home the other day and I happened to be sitting next to a guy that was talking on the phone. And he was talking to somebody, I don't know who, and he's talking about how he's gotten caught up on all the Jonathan Stewart daily shows and how it was really important for him to watch those and, you know, this, that, the other thing. And then he was talking about the issue involving Gaza and, you know, Hamas and Israel and the UN resolution that came down on Monday calling for a ceasefire.
Yeah.
And this guy was surmising, he was worried, he said he was concerned that Biden's sort of softness toward Israel is changing the political landscape in this area. And that there's a lot of people, I guess, from this guy's perspective, unhappy with Biden for not being more pro-Israel. So in terms of what people are talking about, I mean, I do think there's a ton, an absolute ton of continual anti-Trump sentiment from people here.
Why? Like, what's wrong with your friend? You're trying to straighten him out?
Well, again, not my friend. I just happen to be randomly sitting next to this guy on the train. But no, I don't know. It's almost like a reverse cult of personality thing. You know what I mean? Like anything and everything that you might be upset about, frustrated about, hurt about, annoyed by, people seemingly want to make it all the fault of Donald Trump. I mean, it's kind of amazing, but it's this whole, you know, building up a straw man to knock him down type thing. And it's been so built up and overdone and constant. And I think a lot of people that live in the so-called echo chamber that is like New York City and kind of living in the tri-state area, they all feel the same way by and large. And it just kind of continues.
All right. Well, this cop is dead. And the administration thinks they know what the problem is. Republicans didn't fund the police department. Now, this is not an issue of funding. They keep bragging about some gimmick federal program they had, and that makes all the difference. They got all the equipment they need. They really do. It's not a matter of equipment. To some extent, personnel, but that's really a local funding issue. That's not where this money is being spent. Listen to Karine Jean-Pierre. Just got off the airplane, Air Force One. I cannot believe this person has a job. Cut 26, please.
Look, violent crime, and I'm just going to be really clear about here. I'm going to be careful about saying anything about 2024, but violent crime surge under the previous administration, which repeatedly attempted to cut the COPS program, all of their budgets targeted, that they that key funding for the police, and congressional Republicans just proposed doing it again. So this is a president, this is a Biden-Harris administration, have done the polar opposite, taking decisive action from the very beginning to fund the police and achieving a historic reduction in crime under his leadership. And so we're going to continue to do that. One more thing I want to say, that the funding, because the president's budget also proposes to fund the police and with billions, so the federal, state, and local government can have more, can hire more than 100,000 more officers. And I think that's important to note as well. I think.
And she's saying this in the wake, like, here, in the run-up to that, she goes, hey, are you, what are you doing for this family? They don't even, they have not mentioned the officer's name. It's funny, not funny, but a couple of weeks ago, a transgender 16-year-old self-harmed, did something bad to themselves, yeah. Right? And Joe and Jill put out a personal statement how their heart breaks for, I think the person's name was Xander V.
Is right? That the Oklahoma City, something
some,
like
some
that?
Some non-binary individual, you know, who tripped and fell, and they were so heartbroken by the whole damn thing. Cut 27, please. Cut 27.
So, President Biden will be in New York City for most of the day doing fundraising. Former President Donald Trump is going to the wake of the NYPD officer. I wondered if you mentioned that the president spoke to Mayor Adams. I wonder if he'd spoke to the family of the officer. And also, you know, Trump is blaming a lot of crime on Biden. I just wondered if you could speak a little bit about that.
So I don't have any private communications to share at this time. Our hearts go out, obviously, to the officer's family and the broader NYPD family who have tragically lost one of their own. The president grieves for them and honors their sacrifice. Look, the president has stood with law enforcement his entire career and continues to stand with them as they put their lives on the line for their communities. Under his leadership, we'll continue to support police officers and ensure
under his leadership, blah, 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 blah. He embraced this whole Black Lives Matter nonsense, right? He embraced George Floyd and Daddy Changed the World, and he purposely put fuel on that fire, failed to sufficiently decry the violence. And he has no respect for cops. And I'll prove it to you, actually. I'm looking for the tape, but it exists. I heard him say it out loud. You know what he said about January 6th? You know what one of his first reactions was? He said, imagine what would have happened if instead of MAGA supporters, they were all BLM. What would have happened? The cops would have opened fire and they would have killed everybody. Now, he says, my granddaughter, Naomi, just told me this, and she's right. Everybody knows that, right? Like, yeah, the cops would just see black people and start blasting. Ironically, it happened to be a black cop who blasted a white woman. Oh, by the way, that's all the killing that happened that day. So it is, it's kind of heartbreaking and weird and bizarre. But you know what? I mean, this is just another sign that President Trump, I mean, this campaign, it's meticulous. It's beautiful. It's great. He's making all the right moves. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, look, I just think that when it comes to an analysis from a political perspective, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Like, for example, you played that cut where Karine Jean-Pierre wants to blame Republicans for the concept of defunding police. Good luck with that. Like, originally when they talked about that whole border legislation, they said it's former President Trump's fault that the border is unsecure. Like, again, that doesn't make any sense to say that, because that's something that Trump made a major part of his administration.
Hey, I got to ask you something. Are you suspicious of the ship crashing into the bridge? Yes, I'll take that as a yes.
I think it's a little bizarre. Well, I think because you made a good point in the sense that when I take the train in every day, I look at the bridges we cross, and they've got those bumpers in front of the support pillars. And obviously, we've seen now that the Francis Scott Key Bridge didn't have those support pillars, but it's almost like, well, what are the odds that that would happen?
What are the odds?
At that particular bridge.
And all right, so I don't know if you guys heard about this movie, which I watched this morning. Yes, I watched a movie on a weekday morning on Netflix. It's called Leave the World Behind. It was produced by, guess who? Barack Obama,
yeah.
His production company.
Right.
Unlike the crazy documentary he makes and the puppet shows for Michelle, this was actually a very good, entertaining movie. I enjoyed it very much. Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke play a New York City couple, and they rent a house in the Hamptons. you know, to get away. It's like Airbnb a house, yeah. right? So they go out there and all kinds of weird things start happening. And the first great big weird thing is a ship. While they're sitting on the beach, a great big giant oil tanker comes up on the beach. And it totally terrifies everybody. Here's the trailer. Here's a little bit of the trailer. Cut 25.
We are seeing ongoing cyber attacks across the country.
Something is happening, and I don't trust them.
Everything I know, I have told you.
I don't believe you.
I would do anything to protect my family. What you do is your business.
All right.
Get in the car right now!
I know you can't see too much, but it's all havoc and chaos. It's basically about a great big cyber attack, but we don't know the full scale. And the very first weird thing that goes on is a big cargo ship, just like the one that hit the bridge, just drives right on to a little beach where they're sitting. And it totally freaks everybody out. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And people have been talking about this movie for a while. So it's some sort of warning. And does Obama know something? Look, I just know this. We don't know what the hell happened to that ship. We're not going to know for a year and a half. The National Transportation Safety Board always says that. We won't know. We can't draw any conclusions. So stop telling me it's not terrorism. Stop telling me it's an accident. Why did you say, I don't know? I'm right. not saying it's terrorism.
Right.
I'm not saying, but I know what we don't know. We don't know what happened yet. You know, they were saying it was an accident before they even interviewed the captain, before they interviewed the crew, before they looked at the black box. They got a recorder on there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So cool it. And what the freaking hell was the FBI showing up saying, nothing to see here, folks? When the FBI says that because they destroyed their credibility, to me, that means there's something to see here. Be right back. Thanks, James.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month. Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This can be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276. Or Elevate Wellness Group.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
The cargo manifest, we did bring in one of NTSB's senior hazmat investigators today to begin to look at the cargo and the cargo manifest. He was able to identify 56 containers of hazardous materials. That's 764 tons of hazardous materials, mostly corrosives, flammables, and some miscellaneous hazardous materials, class 9 hazardous materials, which would include lithium-ion batteries.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff on that ship. That was the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board chairperson, Jennifer Homendy. What does that mean? I don't know. Can we get this in real quick? Cut 22. Cut 22.
We do have the Voyage data recorder. They worked on that all day to validate that information. They also have a printout of the alarm.
Okay, but they're not finished yet. They haven't even begun to study this stuff. The case is wide open.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
You heard about the guy who was the CEO of Boeing. He is resigning. He's out by the end of the year. Too many doors flying off of airplanes. The 737 MAX crashing like crazy all over the place. He made some comments. He said some things about, he kind of tried to blame the pilots in Africa that they weren't as good as American pilots. That didn't go over too well. I all he was doing was talking about the training. It wasn't a race thing, actually. But there was a couple of, screw-ups and accountability, right? I'm actually all for that. Boeing was going down in so many ways, literally, figuratively. Time for the guy to go. Oh, by the way, I looked up his salary. It's nauseating. You know, I do give these guys credit for showing up to work when they're making $27 million a year. Like, after the first year, aren't you ready to, like, say goodbye to everything? I don't know. Some people are addicted to coming into the office and that stuff. I don't know if I'm one of those people. I love the office. I love work, but I don't know. All right, so he's gone. What else here? And now everyone's piling on. Hey, did you hear what I did yesterday? I found out some information. I thought it was amazing, and it is amazing. Before I do that, I got to just a reminder, everybody, Joe Biden is ruining America and everybody can see it. He is totally inept. He is a complete embarrassment. The world is on fire and we need Donald Trump back. Right. Fair enough. I mean, other than James Flippin's friends, I don't think anyone's going to be able to wage a substantive argument against me on any of that stuff. I have to remember that we have to forcefully put that message out there and I have to make videos detailing and chronicling the problems with Joe Biden, because this really should be a referendum on him as he goes to a fundraiser down the block with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and Stephen Colbert, who just last week was lying about me on TV, by the way. Let's see here. Well, was it lies? It was BS. It wasn't really technically a lie. Mika Brzezinski and Joe, they were lying about me. Stephen Colbert was just being jerky about me. So we have to kind of stay focused on that. This is a referendum on Joe Biden this election. Now, they want to make it all about these cases, but, you know, the cases haven't worked. They thought that we would all get scared and wet our pants the moment Stormy Daniels showed up, right? Oh, my gosh, a porn star. We don't believe it. No, we don't believe them. And we know these cases are fake. Now, I do enjoy guilty pleasure going deep in some of these cases and blowing them up. Actually, all of these cases are fraudulent. These cases in and of themselves are crimes. And one of the beautiful things is to get people to prosecute these cases and to judge these cases, you got to find people who are kind of crooked. I mean, not literally taking money or grab, but like just kind of weird in some way and horrifically biased. Because if you have a person of integrity, they're not going to prosecute Trump. They know that this is made up and weird. So the creatures that are coming forward, you know, Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade, Jack Smith, these are strange people with strange backgrounds and all kinds of conflict and hideous bias. You know, Jack Smith, his wife, does movies with Michelle Obama. Jack Smith, the special prosecutor. It says right in the law when you pick a special prosecutor, they're supposed to be unbiased, like conspicuously unbiased. They have to have a reputation for that. So it's against the law to pick somebody like this who has obvious conflicts, given money to Democrats, wife works with Michelle Obama. And now we're learning more about the judge. What's his name? Juan Merchan. He's going to preside, they say, over the Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen non-disclosure trial, right? slated to start April 15th. I think it gets blown out of the water by an appeals court. I don't think they're going to get that far. So, you know, the judge has given money to the Democrats. His daughter reportedly works for Democrats, Kamala Harris, some sort of political communications firm where she works, and she works for Democrats all over the place. That, to me, is bad enough. This is a very charged political case. I think we can all agree, right? So you really should be very extra careful that the judge does not appear biased. And with the daughter involved in those kinds of activities, political activities, helping Democrats, that's a problem right there. But it's even worse than that. That's enough right there. Now, there are reports, and I find these reports to be very, very, very credible, that a family member, I won't say exactly which one, but you can kind of figure it out, a family member of Judge Mershon has a Twitter account that shows Donald Trump with kind of a prison bars superimposed over his head, right? Like Donald Trump in prison. That's their profile picture. That's their, right? And that is terrible. You can't be associated with the judge and be rooting for a guilty verdict and wanting to see Donald Trump in prison. You just can't do it. I mean, you can think that. It's a free country. But, this has got to stop. So I mentioned yesterday Laura Loomer reported some of this stuff, and then it was picked up. Donald Trump wrote about it. The Associated Press wrote about it and said the Twitter account appears to be from the judge's close family member. Oh, the daughter. Yeah, we can say it, the daughter. So here's this. It's a statement from the judge's spokesperson. The judge has it's the Office of Court Administration. His name is Al Baker, who I actually know. Don't have a negative or positive opinion of him, really. Kind of neutral on him. He wrote for the New York Times. Used to write about my dad sometimes good, sometimes, you know, like a lot of reporters, always getting stuff wrong and never fully understanding things. It's like any reporter. But listen to this queer statement. And it's queer. That's the word. It's queer. It's just odd. You know, if it wasn't the daughter's picture that she put up, just say it. She had nothing to do with this. She did not post that picture. Instead, here's the statement, and it's cagey and weird as anything. Ready? The X, formerly Twitter account, being attributed to Judge Mershon's daughter, no longer belongs to her since she deleted it approximately a year ago. It is not linked to her email address, nor has she posted under that screen name since she deleted the account. Rather, it represents the reconstitution last April and manipulation of an account she long ago abandoned. That's what they call in the trade a non-denial denial. It's a lot of gobbledygook meant to masquerade as she didn't do it, but they can't really say that because she did it. So let's break it down. Being attributed to judgment no longer belongs to her. Well, it doesn't really matter at the moment, right? No longer belongs to her, like right now, today, right? I mean, that's a game right there. Since she deleted it approximately a year ago. Now, when you delete an account, the account actually goes away. You can't find it anymore. It just goes away. But he is talking about it like it still exists. It is not linked to her email address. Like it still exists. You see, did she delete it, deactivate it, suspend it? What's going on here? Or just, it's confusing, deliberately so. It is not linked to her email address. That's very specific. You know how you can get a lot of these things? Through a phone number. What is it linked to her cell phone? You say email address. What about the cell phone? I have a Twitter account. It's linked to my cell phone, not my email. Nor has she posted under that screen name since she deleted the account. Okay, this is a critical. Nor has she posted under that screen name since she deleted the account. Okay, clever, but too clever, right? We're not talking about any posts. We're not talking about a post. We're talking about her profile picture. You can, when you're setting up your Twitter account, it asks you, what do you want for your profile picture? And you set it up. And then you post. We all know what a tweet looks like, right? It's text. It's a thing, and you tweet it. Putting a profile picture up is not posting. So this is so non-denial. And again, it gets back to the contradiction. Nor has she posted, just went into that, under that screen name, since she deleted the account. But he's still kind of maintaining that she had the option. Is it deleted or not? It's all, this is obfuscation. And what does this mean? Rather, it represents the reconstitution last April and manipulation of an account she long ago abandoned. Abandoned, deleted. You see, they're throwing all this stuff out. Now, this is enough for the fake news to say, oh, you see? You see? That story is debunked. She never did that. And they're running with that. Like, I think it's a cover-up operation. And Loomer, you know, who Laura Loomer, who's a little bit controversial, but hey, everybody's got some controversy, and sometimes they just decide to magnify on certain people and minimize on others, and just about everything she's done seems to check out, at least what I've looked at, and I haven't looked at everything she's ever done. And we have also mainstream, we have Donald Trump writing about this, we have the Associated Press writing about it. Now they're all saying, oh, well, the judge said. Diego, did you hear what I just said? Doesn't that sound like gobbledygook and weird? Yes, it does. It totally does. All right. I want to go back to the shooting. By the way, there's two guys. There's the man who shot Officer Diller. And then there's the guy in the driver's seat. His name is Lindy Jones. Cut 7, please, from Fox 5.
Well, an arrest has been made in the death of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller.
All right, the driver of the car that he stopped before being shot is facing two weapons charges.
Fox 5's Stephanie Bertini is live outside criminal court in Kew Gardens, Queens, where the suspect was just arraigned. Steph.
Natasha, Steve, Lindy Jones was arraigned today on weapons charges. Lindy Jones was remanded by the judge. It came out in court that he was already out on bail in connection to a separate crime the night Officer Diller was shot and killed. Lindy Jones in Queens Criminal Court basically revealed that he's saying he didn't know the other man that was in the vehicle. Police say he was driving, and he's saying that the man that pulled the trigger was a hitchhiker. We found that out in court. Guy Rivera is identified by police as the one who pulled the trigger. He was actually shot the same night the officer was shot. Rivera is in police custody, according to the district attorney, and in the hospital, and will also face charges in connection to this case. Of course, the details continue to unfold. The president of the police union today said this is the beginning of justice that needs to be served.
All right. A lot of jargon in that report, right? Can I do that for a moment? Hey, forget that. Have you seen the women getting punched in the face just for being women, especially white women? It's happening, and I knew it would happen. This Karen craze, which they were just about canceling the white women, now they want to hurt white women when I come back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible.
Yep.
This Bible is the King James Version.
All right, you heard about this, right? The mainstream media reaction, boy, you really are not supposed to talk about the Bible these days, was absolutely beautiful. I'm going to hold on that for a few minutes. First, let's go to Francis. Hello.
Great. I want to salute President Trump.
Calm down. Hey, you again. Just ease up, all right? I want you to lower your voice and talk slow. And if you can't do it, that's fine, but I got to go. So what's up?
Greg, I want to salute President Trump for coming to the state of New York today. You're absolutely right. And to that other stupid ass, the one that just...
Man, oh man, were you on the Honeymooners? Is Ralph Cramden's roommate here. All right, you want to salute President Trump, and what else? Calm down again.
All right.
Blah, 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 blah. Carol. I know, me too. Carol in New Jersey. Hello.
Hi, Greg. How are you? First-time caller, long-time listener. I love what you say. I agree 100% with everything that you say. And I just want to make a statement that today is Holy Thursday. Catholics are not supposed to be partying on Holy Thursday. They're supposed to be going to church. Okay?
We are.
President Biden is going to a party tonight. But I just wanted to.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Look, and by the way, I never bragged about being a devout Catholic like he did, right? He shows up. The administration put out a statement. This is the first devout Catholic we've ever had. And I don't know if you saw the video I put out, but he always uses, whenever he talks about Catholicism and Christianity, it's a punchline to some joke. It's literally a, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, when he says something about, you know, nasty about a Democrat. And everybody goes funny. Everybody laughs, or about MAGA. And what else did he do? Oh, he brags about how well he knows the Pope, right? So,
oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, tell me the details about Holy Thursday. I'm a little vague myself.
Well, today it's the night of the Last Supper. Okay. And the next day, Christ gets crucified. But it's the Last Supper. It's the last time with his apostles.
Right.
He says, someone here is going to betray me. Someone who's sitting and... That's the story with Holy Thursday. Trinity.
Now, I will say this. I mean, and look, Joe Biden's the one who goes around bragging about being a devout Catholic. I'm gonna actually find the stuff, because he said it early in his administration. So did the spokespeople. I'm not going to church today. Comment?
Gene?
What? I'm also not going to a party.
Right.
And I will say this. I don't think it says in the Bible that you have to go to church today. Correct?
Well, it doesn't say it in the Bible. Barbara would know better than me. I love Barbara.
We're going to put her on. But your bottom line is Biden is a Catholic in name only?
Well, I was told not to say that, so I'm not going to say that. But
who the hell told you not to say that? It's okay.
I thought someone said don't say that.
Don't worry about it. You can say anything you want. This is a free country, okay? It is a free country.
Maybe.
We're allowed to shoot our mouths off. You're right about that, for now, kind of. Actually, not really. It ain't really a free country anymore, is it?
No, it's not. No, it is not. And I'm worried, very afraid and worried.
Well, wait a second now. Don't be fearful. Worrying. What I know this in the Bible. I think Jesus says out loud, worrying will not add a moment to our life. Worry about today. Today has enough trouble of its own. Or just focus on today. Don't worry. Don't worry, but get active. I told Maria there in New Jersey, she's going to sign up 100,000 new voters in New Jersey, and that one caller just might win New Jersey for President Trump. So let's put that anxiety to action. Fair enough?
Yes, and I just love everything that you say, and I'm a big supporter of you, and I love your dad and everything that he did for the city. I don't live in the city, and but we were there frequently. We don't go anymore. We don't feel safe, but yeah. You're a good guy.
No, thank you, Barbara. I somehow, for some reason, I like you too. I wonder why. Thank you for all the kind words. Barbara, hey, you just mentioned Barbara. Here she is.
Hello, Greg. Yes, today is Holy Thursday, and it's not in the Catholic Church a holy day of obligation, but it's a very, very sacred day because the Eucharist was instituted at the Last Supper. And so we have Holy Thursday prayers and services. And then on Good Friday, we go to church, and especially from 12 till 3, we mark the time when Jesus hung on the cross. And during that time, the altars of the church have been stripped bare of everything, every candle, every altar cloth, every flower, every decorative thing. And many churches will also drape the altars in purple as a sign of mourning and a sign of respect for Jesus' suffering on the cross.
Wow. Wow. Hey, look at what I'm looking at right now. Donald Trump arriving in Massapequa Park for the wake of Officer Jonathan Diller. I know you're out there. It's a great gesture. And to be honest, it's smart politics, too.
But,
and it's just and the contrast between Joe Biden going to that silly party and what we're seeing right here is kind of amazing, isn't it?
it's so respectful and loving and so believable because of how he respected all of our service people, be they military or be the police. So it's very appropriate that he be there. And it's wonderful. And what an uplifting thing for his family and the whole community and all of New York City area.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it means a lot. It means a lot. And, you know, he's one of us. He's a New Yorker, right? This is where he was born and born and raised. And he was born in Queens, which I like to point out geographically, right? Contiguous. That's the word, contiguous to Nassau County and Suffolk County, all on that one great big island out there. Long, there he is. There he is walking in. Looks like the police commissioner is greeting him. And they're shaking hands just outside the funeral home, having a warm moment, it looks like. I'm not sure who that individual is. And another police officer. And Nassau County Color Guard is outside, and he just walked in the funeral home, Massapequa Funeral Home in Massapequa Park, New York. God bless Officer Diller, his family, and yes, President Trump.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.